Okay, so this is the last lecture in cellular respiration. It's called Fermentation, What Organisms Do When There Is No O2. So let's talk about where electrons go during cellular respiration. We're going to follow them. What's the ultimate electron acceptor in cellular respiration? Anybody know? Anybody want to raise their hand? Oxygen. Very good. You got that one right. Where do these electrons come from? Anybody want to make a wild guess? When? Yeah, that's right. There you go. Fantastic. Okay. If you follow this reaction back to the very beginning, where do the electrons come from originally? Yeah. Glucose. Right. Very good. And then, what is the electron acceptor in glycolysis? Okay, think about glycolysis. What's accepting electrons in glycolysis? Yeah. NAD+. Very good. So, we sort of looked at the, yeah. They do, okay, as well. But we're mainly talking about the NADH. Because that's the important one for this lecture. But yeah, that does as well. The FADH2 does as well. Let's talk about electron transportation. Now, let's just talk about NAD+, because what it does is it picks up electrons in glycolysis, it picks up electrons in the bridge, it picks up electrons in the Krebs cycle, and it shuttles them to the electron transport chain via NADH. So in other words, when it grabs an electron, it turns into NADH. It grabs a hydrogen, and then in that form, and you can see in this little illustration, which is sort of the summary slide from the last lecture, you can see that NADH is shuttled into the mitochondria, into the electron transport chain. Now, oxygen, as we've said before, is the ultimate electron acceptor, and it really drives the whole system. Okay, it's what, you know, makes the whole system go. And it's actually converted to water, and then it's exhaled. So if you want to just look at the whole process from beginning to end, the electrons enter the process from glucose, that's where they are originally, and they leave the whole process in the form of water. That's the whole, you know, if you want to have the whole story. Now, to move the reaction forward, electrons must be removed. So one could say that cellular respiration, what we've been talking about all week, is all about the ultimate electron acceptor. And without this acceptor, the reaction is really not going to proceed forward. And so, like we mentioned, if the ultimate electron acceptor, oxygen, is not available, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You don't have that electron. Let's say you don't have oxygen. What's going to happen? Yeah. It doesn't go anywhere. So you're not going to be able to, that electron transport chain in the mitochondria isn't going to happen. And so you're just, now you still need ATP, right? So what do you do? What do you do? You still need ATP, but you can't get it from the mitochondria. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So glycolysis is the only way to get it. So for each glucose, we get 2 ATP. So we are able to generate a little bit of ATP, even if we don't have oxygen. And we get 2 pyruvates as well, and we get 2 NADHs. But the pyruvates and the NADHs aren't all that helpful to us because we can't really do anything with them. But there's a problem. Okay, we get 2 ATPs for every glucose, but there's still a problem because you can't continue this forever. Even if you have an unlimited amount of glucose, do you have any idea why? Why can't you just continue this? Yeah. Well, it does, but there's something even more important than that. Yeah. I mean, you could argue that, but let's just say you had enough glucose that you could, you know, generate all the ATP in the world. But there's something else that's going on. Yeah. Exactly. You don't, in order to move the reaction forward, you need to remove electrons. It has to happen. And if you, and then you ask yourself, well, what's removing the electrons in glycolysis? And as was just mentioned, NAD plus is the molecule that's removing electrons. And so you're going to run out of NAD plus. That's what's going to happen. And once you've used up all the NAD plus, the reaction will stop. So it's just like if you don't have oxygen, you know, the reaction stops in the mitochondria, electron transport can no longer occur. You can actually stop glycolysis from occurring by using up all the NAD plus. So how do you deal with this NAD plus crisis? Well, there, it turns out that there's two ways to regenerate NAD plus from NADH. One is called alcohol fermentation, and the other is called lactic acid fermentation. And the key idea here is, first of all, these processes only occur when there's no oxygen. So when you ever see the word fermentation, think no oxygen. And the conditions have to be what we call anaerobic. And let's just do a quick word derivation. An is the Greek prefix, which means no. Anaerobic means air or oxygen, if you will. And so anaerobic means under conditions of no oxygen. So, you know, what do you do when you're under anaerobic conditions? Well, alcohol fermentation is one solution, so let's look at it. In my illustration here on the right, you'll see glycolysis. I'm just showing it in one big step. You've got glucose being converted into pyruvate or pyruvic acid. And you guys are familiar with that. We've learned that this week. And in that conversion of glucose to pyruvate, you generate two ATPs, as you can see. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're hoping for. But you're also taking NAD+, you're taking two of them, and making two NADHs. Okay, so what do you do? Well, what you do is you convert pyruvate, you take it, it's a two-step process, and you, first of all, you convert pyruvate into acetaldehyde. And what happens here is you lose a carbon. So pyruvate's a three-carbon molecule, you lose one carbon in the form of CO2, and you're left with acetaldehyde, which is a two-carbon molecule. And because you have two pyruvates here, you're going to end up with two acetaldehydes, which means you're going to generate two CO2s. And then you have another step. You take that acetaldehyde and you convert it into ethanol. And in that process, it turns out that NADH is converted back into NAD+. And that's a good thing, because that's what you want to do. You want to regenerate the NAD+. The final product is ethanol, and this is the alcohol that people drink. Okay, this is the alcohol that's in beer, wine, hard liquor, so forth. Now, humans can't do this reaction themselves. Okay, we can't regenerate NAD+ this way. Does anybody know why? Why can't we do this? Any wild guesses out there? Why can't we do this process? What do you think? Just take a wild guess. Nobody even wants to make a wild guess? Yeah. A little bit louder? Yeah, it is, but that's not why we can't do it. Yeah. Exactly. We don't have the enzymes for it. I told you earlier in this unit, I said every reaction in every living organism is mediated by an enzyme. So between pyruvate and acetaldehyde, there's an enzyme. Between acetaldehyde and ethanol, there's an enzyme. Turns out that we don't have those enzymes, so we can't do it. Okay? Now, so we can't produce alcohol for free. That would be kind of interesting if we could. You know, you can imagine, hey, I want to produce a little ethanol, and you go, well, let me see. I've got to put myself under a condition where I don't have enough oxygen. Well, I know how to do that. I can run for like an hour, because then my muscles will just, you know, there won't be enough oxygen in my muscles, and then if we had the enzymes all of a sudden in order to regenerate NAD plus, and so you could still make ATP because you don't have oxygen to send pyruvate, you know, into the mitochondria and do all that. You could just all of a sudden you'd start producing alcohol, and then at the end of your run, you'd be drunk. Okay, it's kind of a weird thing, but don't worry, it's not going to happen. Okay. But yeast can do this, okay? So we can't do it, but yeast can do it because yeast have these enzymes. And so we actually use yeast to do this. So whenever, like all these different alcohols, these different beverages that are produced, they're all produced by giving yeast a glucose and letting them produce the ethanol for us under anaerobic conditions. So if you want to make wine, you get grapes. Grapes have carbohydrates in them, which then can break down into glucose or some other sugar, which can be fed into the cycle. And but you don't. You make sure that the grape juice doesn't, you know, that there's in the yeast in the don't get any air. So you put them in an anaerobic condition, and they're forced to go through this process, and they produce ethanol. Now, if you're a yeast, you're a happy little camper going through this process so you can produce ATP, so you can live happily ever after. But the problem is ethanol is, I like to call it yeast poo, okay? It's like, it's what yeast give off, right? It's waste product. And it's okay for a while, but once you get to about 12% alcohol, ethanol, the yeast actually can't handle it anymore, and they basically die in their own waste, okay? It's kind of a disgusting thought, but that's what happens, okay? They just produce so much alcohol, when they get to about 12%, they're like, well, and then they just die, okay? And so you can never make alcohol more than 12% naturally. So beer, you know, is somewhere, you know, 4, 5, 6%, something like that, alcohol. Wine is around 12%, and anything over 12%, you have to do a special chemical process called distillation where you get rid of the water and then you recover the alcohol and then you can concentrate it, and that's how you get vodka and gin and rum and all those others. But in every case, there had to be some kind of carbohydrate, original source of, you know, sugar, starch, which then can be converted to sugar or sugar itself, and that's what starts the process. Okay? There you go. And then, you know, also another thing I'll tell you is that's why when people drink a lot of alcohol, it's like drinking, you know, sodas, right? You're getting lots, because, I mean, basically glucose and alcohol are very similar in energy content. And so if you're going to drink, you know, soda, you're getting a lot of sugar, which is, you know, not good for you necessarily. And you drink a lot of alcohol, you're getting a lot of energy too. So it's, you know, not good for several reasons. One of them is that there's maybe too much energy there and you don't need it and you start to get fat. And the other one is, well, it's not good for your health either. Okay, lactic acid fermentation. Pyruvate is converted to lactic acid, lactate, in one step. If you see here in my picture, there's your glycolysis. You go glucose to pyruvate. Okay, we've talked about that. And then you go from pyruvate to lactic acid in one step, and in that step you convert NADH to NAD+. So there you go, okay? And it turns out that we can do this. If our body doesn't get enough oxygen, then we do this, and so we produce a bunch of lactic acid. And so this is what happens to athletes if they overexert themselves. And they need, you see, their muscles need the ATP, but they don't have enough oxygen, so they can't send the pyruvate through the mitochondria, through the electron transport. So they're like, it's like, red alert, red alert. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We need ATP. Oh, we'll just convert the pyruvate into lactic acid. We'll get a couple ATP, and that'll get us over the hump, and so forth. And so this is what happens to athletes. Now, of course, it can be bad because when it builds up in the muscles, you can sometimes, it can cause cramping. There's debates about this, but you know, this is kind of this the classic definition of, you know, one of the reasons why you get cramping is because you get a buildup of lactic acid. And then after the race, the lactic acid will get converted back and, you know, you get rid of it when you've got oxygen available, okay? Now, this is also one of the reasons that athletes will train, because they'll train so that their body, their physiology is adapted for oxygen debt. You know, they're ready for it. They've built up the enzymes, they've built their cardiovascular, the whole thing is good, so they can maybe run a marathon or, you know, be in a football game for the whole game and not have problems or whatever. So that's why athletes train, so they don't have this problem. They don't need to use lactic acid fermentation, okay? So you want to avoid it, but, you know, it's there if you need it. Yeah. That's a good question. I don't see why it couldn't, but it wouldn't probably go on in the same cell. So this maybe there's some cells that have, you know, enough oxygen, they're okay. They're not really requiring massive amounts of oxygen, and so they're doing fine. Other cells are using oxygen need so much energy that they're just not able to keep up, and so then you go into this. Yeah, good question. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm wondering if it's, you know, a preservative or something. I'm not sure. We could look that up. Good question. Get back to me on that tomorrow, okay? Okay, the key molecule is pyruvate. And if you look, this is kind of a cool little graphic. If you look here, glucose comes into the cell, and once it comes into the cell, it's converted into pyruvate. But then which way does it go? It actually depends on whether oxygen is present or not. If oxygen is present, then the pyruvate will go into the mitochondria and go through the Krebs cycle and the electron transport chain. And you produce a lot of ATP. If oxygen is not, or not enough oxygen is present, then the pyruvate, the cell realizes this, and you'll go through either alcohol fermentation or lactic acid fermentation, depending on, you know, what kind of organism you are and what kind of enzymes you have. So, you know, pyruvate's kind of the place where the decision is made. And of course, if you're in a fermentation situation, you do that because you need to regenerate the NAD+. So you can produce, even, you know, at least you're producing a small amount of ATP. It's better than no ATP. Okay, and that's it.